News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the DJ Ritchie Show.
Hello, my peoples. That's right, you've been sitting around all day going, when is the man coming on? I'm here. I am her. I listened to that Chris fella today that's sitting in for Mr. Winterbull. He's pretty cool. He's pretty cool fella. Were you running his board for him, Isaac?
I was.
Yeah, and that's an innuendo. You were quote-unquote running his board.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Got
Woo.
Him. Got him.
Mm. Yeah, he's pretty cool fella. Pretty cool fella. And then Breaking Bread Jensen and I were just talking about the festivities tomorrow night. Big 4th of July celebration, Independence Day celebration at the fireworks sky show thing. I've never been to that. And you know, I was saying last night, I'm a little torn because I don't want to get mixed up with the regular radio folk, you know, since I should be separate from all the regular radio folk. But we'll see. We'll see. See, one of the benefits of being the lowly night guy is that you can say stuff on your show, and then once it gets around to people, they talk about it during the day. And then nobody's here by the time I get here, so they're not talking crap to me about it. That's a benefit. But no, that's going to be a fun thing. I'm looking forward to the baseball part of it as well. I'm a huge baseball fan. Not that anybody cares about that. But... So last night I was going home. I was trying to get out of the big dangerous city and get back up to the safe suburbs where I live. And I saw a fellow riding one of those city scooters. And he was on the road with it. And it had lights on it and stuff. And I got to thinking, maybe that's not one of those little scooter rental things that just trash up the city. Not just this city, every city that's got them. They're just lying around like trash. He may have been just riding his own scooter. Do they make scooters that are road legal? I don't know, but this one was on the road, in the turning lanes and stuff, acting a fool. I've never been on one of those city scooters. I don't have the app. Plus, they're ridiculous. Can you see me, my big old fat, on a city scooter, 55 years old? Oh, I could ride it, though. I have a big motorcycle, so I think I could ride a scooter. I got a big old Harley Davidson motorcycle, and it's got Ronald Reagan's face all over it. How about that? It's so cool. One time, Larry Sprinkle did a feature story on the news about it. I ain't lying. Ronald Reagan, they said, how long you been conservative? My whole life, that's how long. And I got to thinking, last night I was joking around about that I was considering running for Tom Tillis's seat. Well, it's not Tom Tillis's seat. It's the people's seat. But the seat that will be vacated by Tom Tillis. I was joking about running for that, you know, election. But then the more I got to thinking about it, I could do that job. Yeah. Here I am. I was a theater major, and then I quit college, and I don't have any of the educational background at all to be a senator. You know, usually they don't. You know, when they're going through parliamentary procedures and all that, they don't say, "All right, where is our best theater guy?" That's on the Democrat side, and we'll get into that a little bit later about these drama queen Democrats. But I wouldn't need any of that because I wouldn't go from a platform of this is what I'm going to do for you if you send me to Washington. I'm going to fight to do this, and I'm going to fight to do that, and I'm gonna put everything I've got into making sure that you get this back home, and da-da-da-da-da. I wouldn't do any of that. I would run a fresh campaign to say, what I'm going to Washington to do is fight Democrats. That's it. And everything else will take care of itself. If I can defeat Democrat ideas and Democrat proposals and Democrat bills and anything that any Democrat suggests, if I fight it, then that will be doing more for my state of North Carolina than anything else. Not going to stand up there and say, I don't want to be on any committees. I don't need all of that stuff. I don't need any of the show business part of being a senator. No. I'm going there to shut down everything I can that a Democrat mentions. If a Democrat, after we get through with a session, says, hey, why don't you and I go get a beer together? I'm going to go, no. No. Now, if I suggest it to a Democrat, then that's a different story. But any Democrat idea or any Democrat suggestion, that's what I would be in Washington to fight. Just that simple. I don't believe in bipartisan in this day and age the way the Democrats are. Because what do? You meet somebody halfway. How are you going to meet a Marxist halfway? And go, okay, well, we'll do half Marxism, half freedom and liberty. You can't work with a Democrat in Congress or the Senate. You can't do it. I mean, look at the big, beautiful bill. Democrats don't even have to show up for work because they know good and well they're going to vote against it. There's nothing at all that a Republican president, especially Donald Trump, is going to be in favor of, that the Republicans are in favor of, that the Democrats are going to do anything with at all. I don't even know why they went to work. It's like, oh, everybody knows what we're doing on this one. That's the way I would be. I envy the Democrats sometimes when it comes to that kind of thing, how they stick together. They stick together in their shadiness and shystiness and trifling behavior. I don't know if I could get some donors, somebody that could whip up some donations and stuff for my political campaign. I might do it. Now, I got to shed some of this weight and maybe get a wig, some kind of, one of those fancy types of hair replacement things like the celebrities get. Because people don't vote for bald men, I don't think. But other than that, I got it. And I heard somebody's running for sheriff, challenging homicide. I don't even know his name. I just say, here comes homicide. That's homicide. Now, I know his name's McFadden, but I was a fan of his show. His reality show, his docuseries. It's called I Am Homicide. That's why I call him Homicide. Anyway, I'm explaining too much. If I have to explain that much, I shouldn't have said it to begin with. Anyway, so you got somebody challenging him, and from what I understand, he's just going to have a lot of Panthers players endorsing him or something. I try to listen to things going on this station. But, you know, I'd be busy. I'd be busy. I'm listening to cassettes most of the time in my truck. So, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of powerful people listen to this radio station. I mean, not during the time when I'm on, because I got 11 listeners. I've already talked to all of them, and none of them seem like they would be big fundraisers for candidates and all. But I might start looking for it. I got a platform. Simple to the point. Okay, there's so much stuff going on. Big time news day, and we got some crying Democrats that we're going to make fun of regarding the big, beautiful bill. And Also, a question I have about that, but it's a question I know the answer to. I'm sorry, to which I know the answer. So I'm just playing around, but that's all coming up next. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey, look at us getting with the times here. If you want to text us in the studio, just text the same number you would be calling, 704-570-1110. So you can text us, and it is driven by Liberty Buick GMC. You say driven by because... it's cars. You get it? You have that. And then it's how that play on words, driven, because it's Liberty Buick GMC. So, yeah, you can text right up in here, and we'll see it. Again, driven by Liberty Buick GMC. I ain't reading no text. I'm driving. No, seriously, don't be texting and driving. Pull over if it's that important, which I know it is. If you want to get in touch with me, you're probably just losing all sense of common thought. Like, oh my gosh, I could text them right now. So there you go. All right. So the big beautiful bill in the House. They're still debating it. Fox News right now has a thing on the screen that says big beautiful bill hits a snag in the House, you know, so forth and so on. It's not going to be easy. There are a lot of things in the bill I don't agree with, a lot of things I do agree with. But the main thing that I agree with is that the Democrats are against it. Easy, you see. Now, all of the Democrat representatives from like Sandy Cortez, you know, she's the president of the drama club in high school still, and so she came out and did her terrible acting job. I mean, she really, really overacts when she comes out and she's furious about something. You know, you can just tell, it's awkward, it's cringy, as the kids say. And then Big Sleepy, a.k.a. Hakeem Jeffries, he came out with the usual Democrat line of, because, you know, he's got those big dumb eyes, and he's like, he's about to fall asleep at any moment. That's why I call him Big Sleepy. Big old head. Man, he got a big head. You see how big his head is? Man. Anyway, Big Sleepy comes out with that nasally voice he's got. And this bill is going to kill people. People will die because of this big, ugly... The people will die. Thousands of people will die if this bill passes. Okay. You say that about everything that that Republicans want to do. It's going to kill people. Oh, my God. People are going to die. Taking away health care from millions of people. Yeah, it's taking away benefits that are going to people who aren't supposed to be in the country. Illegal aliens. Those are the things that it's taken away. But Pocahontas, I think, did the biggest acting job of any of them. Senator Elizabeth Warren, she got in her car and and she did the full, I think she started crying during her little monologue here. Now, remember, this is a woman who lied about being Native American to get to get special treatment for employment, and also used it as a campaign platform. And when she was running for president in the primary, whenever that was, she did that whole fake commercial where she comes in and you know, she's just exhausted in her kitchen, and she tells her husband, "I'd like me a beer." You know, like she's just an average Joe coming in and having a beer after work. She's so fake. Here she is crying. Listen.
Leaving the Senate now, at the end of the vote, when the Republicans won, they cheered. They cheered over taking away health care from around 17 million people. They cheered over giving huge tax breaks to a handful of billionaires.
Oh.
They cheered over running up the national debt by another $3.5 trillion. You know, this bill, it's bad.
Oh my God.
It's bad economically.
Oh my God.
It's bad morally.
Oh, yes.
This
so
bill
moral.
Is just wrong. But we stay in the fight. We stay in the fight. We stay in the fight.
Please do. It's bad morally. Oh. Oh. Because I am the moral authority. Of all the people, I speak for the people. It's always the same thing with Democrats. Billionaire tax cuts, taking away people's health care. 17 million people's health care. Where are you getting that number, Lizzie? Oh, man. And that's the thing. That's what, I mean, I think that the best way to combat these people is to just mock them. Ruthlessly mock them. They don't deserve any type of respect as far as, well, you kind of have to, you got to at least respect their argument. No, you don't. I don't believe in that. If their argument is trash and lies and their ways and their ideas are to tear America down, now why would I respect that? These people are lunatics. Here she is, busted lying about being, you know, Native American. Because my papa, she said, my mamma told me that I had the same skin as my papa. So I guess she's trying to even lie to say that she looked Native American. These people have no shame, none. They have no morals, no shame, from Big Sleepy all the way on down. Sandy Cortez, she's a liar and a bad actor. You know, I was saying earlier, I was a theater major in college. I could help Sandy Cortez if she wanted some help in the acting department. I know the method, as they say. But, I mean, she would have to be on, you know, change completely to our side and prove herself before I would help her with anything. But again, always credit where credit's due. At least she's pretty. Not Elizabeth Warren. I'm talking about Sandy Cortez. She's adorable when she starts jumping up and down too and pretending to be mad and all, stomping away. Oh, these people. All right, well, we're gonna do some gay stuff. We got a lot of stuff from the LGBT community, a lot of issues going on, a lot of stories happening around that topic today. I didn't mean to phrase it that way. All right, so we'll get into that next.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
The TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hello. Thank you for listening tonight and every night. If you want to call, the number is 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. You can also text a message to that number if you want. It's the WBT text line driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. I'm looking up on the TV here in the local news. It's talking about a 1 cent tax increase, the transit bill. Gotta say, I don't like that. Because there's somebody on the news, they're interviewing about it, and I'm guessing that that woman is a Democrat and she's for it. So, see how quickly I can make those judgments of what I support, what I don't support?
TJ Ritchie, the profiler.
Yep, that's right. But it says it's trying to get people on board. So you're going to be charging people who are never going to ride the thing. I think. I'm just seeing the TV doesn't even have sound on it. I'm just going by what I'm seeing on the screen. And I'll probably end up being right. Okay. I mean, it's just the way it works, man. So the big, beautiful bill is upsetting all kinds of people who have constantly got their hands out wanting something for nothing or thinking that they're entitled to the fruits of somebody else's labor. In other words, Democrats, liberals, Marxists, blah, blah, blah. This is a lady upset about the suicide hotline. I don't know how that got into play, but she's madder than fish grease. Listen.
So once again, the Trump administration proves that they are homophobic, not to mention racist and sexist. They want to stop the LGBTQ suicide hotline. Well, they wouldn't need their own hotline if the religious right, hypocritical, fundamental crazies and the Republican Party didn't demonize the LGBTQ community every chance they get.
Oh, this poor woman. This poor, poor, brainwashed cult member. First question is, common sense would say, why does there need to be a separate suicide hotline for the LGBTQ plus? A suicide hotline is a suicide hotline. It covers everybody who's thinking of committing suicide. Right? So even that has to be broken down into an identity politics issue. You can't even use the regular suicide hotline. We got to pay extra for you because it makes you feel special to have your own dedicated suicide hotline because of your sexual preference. And you've been programmed to believe that all of these people you just named, all these types of people are against you, and Trump is a racist, homophobe, go down the list that they always say. You've let these mind controllers, the bosses of the Democrat Party and these Marxists, use you once again as a useful idiot. I mean, seriously, I do a lot of times I feel sorry for these liberals. I mean, they're puppets and their emotions are played with all the time. Don't you get sick of it? Don't you get sick and tired of somebody just using your emotions to control you and place you in situations where it benefits them no matter how much of a fool you make of yourself, no matter how off-putting you are to people, they make you be that way. And it's sad. If I were God forbid, a state of depression to the point where I was considering suicide, am I going to call the suicide hotline? And when they answer, am I going to go, "Hey, you ain't gay, are you? I don't need no gay suicide hotline operator. I need one for the heteros. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's what I need." Which, by the way, that's one of my least favorite things that people say. Because they always say it like they made it up and it's so clever. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Like, okay, we got it. Heard that a million times. Is that what's going to happen? We're going to call up there and go, don't give me no gay suicide hotline operator. They don't know what they're doing with heteros. No. But I get that people have, you know, specific issues that they go through and they're caused by certain aspects of their lives and all of that. But if you're trained to be a counselor on a suicide hotline, don't you think that you would be trained to cover the issues that you may be dealing with? If not, we'd have a thousand different departments. Okay, now why are you depressed? What group do you fit into? Then we have to put you with the right operator, the right counselor that's going to save your life. Oh, okay, so you're part of the LGBTQ community. All right, well, hang on a minute. I'm going to put you on hold and then find somebody that can relate to you, that can possibly talk you down. I mean, it's ridiculous. Then again, doesn't matter because you're not paying for it, right? Other people are paying for it. It's an entitlement. Once the Democrats get somebody an entitlement, they've got them forever as voters. That's the way their whole plan has always worked. Let's get an entitlement and we can have, you know, that racist Lyndon Johnson. That was his whole thing. I mean, he was an awful, terrible racist. And he pretty much started all of that. Get them addicted to government. Get all these downtrodden people. And then we can control them. They'll always support us. Okay, so we got some more on this that proves how when you are already, when you're given these special treatments and all, how you start to believe that if anybody doesn't do exactly what you want to do, then you're going to die. People like you are going to die. And people who don't want to give you exactly what you want are evil. Okay. That's the mind control of the Democrat Party of 2025. So we'll get into that next.
It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
I'm pretty excited about something, and I will make the announcement of what the excitement is during the show tomorrow night. At the Sky Show broadcast with the ball game and all. I'm really excited, and I don't get excited about much. I'm actually a pretty negative person lately. It's like, oh, that won't work out. But this is cool. This is cool. So that's tomorrow night. Now, before we get back to the stuff we were talking about how, you know, the when you start thinking about entitlements and you start becoming used to entitlements and thinking that if people don't give you your entitlements, then you're going to die. We'll get back to that in a second. But the reason the Big Beautiful Bill has stalled in the House, there's this one little blurb from the story on FoxNews.com. Fiscal hawks were angered by last-minute moves made to placate Senate GOP moderates who were uneasy about the bill's near immediate phase out of most green energy tax subsidies in former President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. Okay, this is what I'm talking about, where even if it's not exactly what you want, and believe me, there is nobody, and I think if you've listened to the show maybe twice, you would know, there is nobody who is more conservative than I about everything, pretty much. But this is proof of why you do what I said do at the top of the show, and that is always go against what Democrats want. And if you want something that's more conservative later, fight for it. But right now, you got these squishy moderate senators who want to leave part of the green energy tax credits, the subsidies in there. Everything that happened during the Biden administration should be destroyed. And this is what I mean by bipartisan or meeting them halfway. When you meet them halfway, you're doing half Marxism, because nothing about the green energy movement or the environmental movement, nothing about that is about freedom. It's government control of our lives, and any aspect of it should be done away with in America if we're still a free nation. The green energy subsidies, get out of here. And I got news for you. People don't want to drive electric cars. And who was really behind this green energy thing? Remember the green energy, the what do they call it? The Green New Deal? Sandy Cortez. Miss Marxist 2025. So why are they doing anything, leaving anything? Why are they nervous about any of it? And that's another thing that I've said, and it made some people angry, that a moderate Republican is equivalent to a bad cop in a movie. Because the victim puts their trust in them. They say, we're here to help. We're here. We're going to do everything we can to bring this person to justice, and we're going to do da-da-da-da-da. You can trust us, and blah, blah, blah. And then when it comes time, boom, they stab the victim in the back, and they are the bad guy. They're working with the bad guy. Is that simplistic? Possibly simple-minded, some might think. But is it true? Think about how disappointed you've been with your rock-ribbed conservative candidate that you supported, and when they get to Washington, they do moderate things. And they make it harder for conservatives to do anything. So, yeah, I'm not criticizing the conservative fiscal hawks in the House. I'm criticizing the moderate senators to begin with that had to have this, you know, we got to leave some aspects of the Biden Inflation Reduction Act in here, that the whole thing was just rotten from the very beginning. But we got to phase it out. We got to phase it out slowly. Oh, God. Making me sick. Sick, sick, sick. Okay. So, we have a clip here from a trans, called a trans woman. So it's a man And he's very eloquently spoken, and he's given a little little speech to a group of people outside. And I want you to pay attention to the terms he uses here.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lily Sobon. I am a unit chief here at the Department of Healthcare Services, and I also happen to be a transgender woman. As a queer person, I can truly identify with the issues that can arise in having access to care. For me, as a trans person, that ability to transition, that ability to access medical care was not only life-fulfilling, making my life one that was much more willing, but it was life-saving. Looking in the mirror wasn't a...
So you get that? Health care, life-saving care, meaning if I wasn't able to have these surgeries and whatnot and these hormones and all to try and turn into a woman, I would have died. And so many other people are the same way. So if we don't continue to pay for and do these services to people, have access to this care, so many more people are going to die. This is access to life-saving care, don't you know? Okay, let's go again.
Hateful experience, it was one that I could actually embrace. And having access to life-saving, gender-affirming care meant the world to me. But I also know how many barriers there can be to access that. How doctors that gatekeep can keep you from getting access to the right care. And people that put their own opinions over seeking the right medical advice for you can get in the way. How financial barriers can stand so strong in the way of you getting the care that you so deeply need. And as a queer person, I hope that you at home... we'll keep in mind that it's worth the fight, that it's worth reaching out to organizations like Medi-Cal, looking into the resources we offer, that it's worth talking to your doctor, and if they don't fit your needs, if they're gatekeeping, or if they're just not willing to accept you as you, to look for a different one, to go to your local...
The doctor's not willing to accept you as you. If a doctor says, you know what, I am not going to start cutting off your genitals and going through this process with you, then they're just not taking care of your needs. They're refusing. They're bad. They're bad people. So it's a, you know, it, not only is it this entitlement, but it's an entitlement that's caused by narcissism. Like, this is so important to the world that I, because I feel like I'm a member of the opposite sex, that I get this procedure done and somebody should facilitate it and pay for it. Not to mention the, you know, doing these things on kids and how evil that is. Just, I mean, that is sheer evil. Start doing this stuff to kids and saying kids can make their decisions, and they'll tell you that they want to transition. They'll let you know. No, that's not the way that works. But you get so wrapped up in your cause that it's going to make you feel better, and you try to drag as many people as possible into it, because then it makes it seem like it's more normal. It's more natural. It's no big deal. The more people that I can just say, hey, you know what? You're not happy. You're probably feeling like you should be the opposite sex. So let's get Medi-Cal, which is a state government-funded thing like Medicaid, state pays for it. Let's get them to pay for the surgery and your transformation that's going to finally make you happy. I'll be there with you all the way through it. Because then you'll make me seem like I'm more normal. So let's go. Let's go to the doctor. Okay, we got TJ on the news. That will be coming up in just a few minutes, so hang on for that.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Richey Show.
Oh, yeah. If you want to call, 704-570-1110 is the number. You can also text us now right here into the studio directly. Or as some people say, directly. I say directly, so we'll do that directly. 704-570-1110 on the WBT text line, driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know what? On this sheet I just had, it's got all of the other hosts and everything's personal email addresses. I wonder if I should give those out. Like, take a certain caller and say, whose do you want? Kidding, of course. Let's see what's going on.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the news.
Oh, yeah. Go around the world. And I am so tired. I travel around the world every day to bring you these stories. So I hope you enjoy what I'm bringing and what I'm laying down. Lead story.
Under the sea.
Hey.
Under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Oh, beachgoer recently came across nearly $500,000 worth of the cocaine that had washed up in Walton County, Florida, according to the sheriff's office. Now, Walton County, Florida, is along the panhandle there in the Gulf of America, where Fort Walton, Destin, all of that area is. The discovery was made Sunday morning. The Walton County Sheriff's Office said on social media, quote, while enjoying our beautiful beaches, if you come across any square groupers, that's what they call the drug packages there, please call immediately. Do not touch suspicious packages. That's a pretty good rule in life in general. Don't touch suspicious packages. Contents could be extremely harmful. The post on their social media also included a photo of the haul showing the packages were indeed marked with Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Sam, I guess, denotes that it is the real deal from the cartel. Now, it doesn't say anything about who spotted it and called the police, but hopefully no one will ever know who did that, because I don't see the cartel letting them keep their heads. You know, I wouldn't be letting anybody know who I was. It's like if I won the Powerball, I'm doing that anonymously too. I don't want people asking me for money. So those are the people I always try to avoid. People who are going to ask me for money and the cartel. It's the only people I'm trying to avoid. All right, next story. It's murder, murder, it's murder, 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 it's murder. Somebody tell him it's murder.
Murder was the case, and they blame me.
A Detroit gas station clerk will spend decades behind bars for fatally shooting a man after escalating a dispute over beef jerky. Moad Mohammed Al-Gaham was sentenced to 20 to 50 years in jail for second-degree murder. Al-Gaham shot 25-year-old Anthony McNary in the forehead June 5th, 2023, at an Exxon Mobil station in Detroit, after the clerk caught him pocketing some beef jerky. I love beef jerky, but you know, try to steal it, it's not worth your life. Al-Gaham went through McNary's pockets, retrieved the jerky, and placed it back on the shelf. At that point, McNary offered to pay for the jerky. He's like, I really want that jerky. Sorry I tried to steal it, but I'm craving the jerky. I got to have it. I'll pay for it. But Al-Gaham refused and forced him out of the convenience store. Al-Gaham locked him out, locked the doors, and made sure that he couldn't come back in. And then the surveillance video showed McNary standing outside the doors when Al-Kaham charges toward the entrance with a gun in his hand, aims it at his forehead, and shoots the 25-year-old through the glass. He was taken to the hospital, pronounced dead there. He was unarmed at the time of the shooting, and police say that Al-Kaham did not have a license for the gun he used. So the police launched an investigation into Al-Kaham for another shooting in 2022, in which he kicked a customer out of the store, then fired a shot after the customer got too close to his car. Before the judge issued her sentence, he spoke to the family through a translator, saying that he apologized and all that. The attorneys representing McNary's family members called Al-Kaham's actions horrific, adding that they demonstrate a complete disregard for the safety of our community. Now, a $100 million lawsuit has been filed against ExxonMobil because this gas station sold ExxonMobil gas, I guess, or I don't know, maybe ExxonMobil owns the gas. I don't, but they're at fault for $100 million for some reason. I guess we'll have to keep an eye on that. They're like, who's got $100 million? Okay, well, Al-Kaham doesn't. Who does? Look at the sign. Oh, Exxon. Let's get Exxon. Okay, next story. Long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart. Like diamond rings and football teams. Some idiot in Northern California got pulled over Sunday after a cop saw him swerving around on the road. And they knew he might be drunk when they looked in his car, and it was loaded with empty beer cans. They spotted an open can of Bud Light in his cup holder, then found more than 70 empty cans of Bud Light floating around in his SUV. They lined the beer cans up on the hood and shared a photo online. He said, we counted 73 of them, and seven were 25-ounce tall boys. He was more than three times the legal limit for driving. Man, that's crazy. I was at a monster truck show one time in Alexandria, Louisiana, where I started my radio career. And they had this thing where they would let people come in with their truck, like just people from that were there, audience members, and they could go through the course. And this guy came through the doors of the Coliseum, and he hit that first bump. And as soon as he did, about 30 empty beer cans just flew up out of the back of his truck all over the arena floor. Because, you know, he'd just been driving and drinking and throw them in the back of the truck as he was going down the road. That was funny. Typical and funny. And finally, baby. There is a new baby shower trend. And this is not the new baby shower trend we talked about the other night, where men are giving the expectant dads baby showers. This is the trend of displaying at the baby shower, because too many people get anxious and uncomfortable while people are watching them open gifts. So now, to cut down on that anxiety, you take the baby shower gift to the baby shower, unwrapped, and then they just display them on a table. And the mother-to-be can go by and just look at who brought her what gift. And she doesn't have to go through the terror, the horror of opening gifts from her friends and family while they stare at her. Have we become, well, yes, we have. We have become that soft in this society. Okay, we'll just call it a new trend. We can't even have a baby shower traditionally anymore. Oh, no. It's too much anxiety, don't you know? Oh. It's pathetic. All right, that's it for TJ on the news.
The TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3.
Hi, lady and gentlemen. Oh, flying by again tonight. Why does it go so fast? So, a minute ago during TJ on the News, one of the theme songs for the story was Beer Never Broke My Heart. That's the name of the song? Luke Combs. North Carolina's own Luke Combs. And young Isaac had some kind of connection with Luke Combs. What was it again?
We were technically neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Up at App State. I lived in 208 Faculty Street, apartment 4.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Combs lived in apartment 3. Was it the same time? No.
But
practically neighbors.
Yeah. I get that logic.
He played at the bar that we lived above.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his video guy is from my hometown. He's shot a lot of his music videos in my hometown.
Okay, so y'all are basically brothers, I would say.
Basically?
At this point.
Basically.
So, who is the biggest celebrity you've ever met, though?
Biggest celebrity I've ever met?
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen Justified?
Hell yeah.
Met the sheriff. The guy's boss.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's from Cullowhee.
I didn't know he was from Cullowhee.
Up there, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Met him. Awesome guy.
Yeah, he is. He's cool. Yeah, he's a North Carolina fella too.
Can't beat it, dude.
Look
him,
at you.
Jordan Combs. We got them all.
You met Jordan?
No.
Huh.
I met
Jordan. He works at the station down the hall.
Met Matt
First
Doherty.
Name's Jordan.
Kind of close.
Well, I mean, I know Matt Doherty, and he played basketball on the same team with Jordan. So there. I haven't met any celebrities.
I left a big one off. TJ Ritchie.
That was what obviously. I was going for way back in the beginning when I asked the question, but... No big deal. I've had some celebrity run-ins, too. I'm not a big fan of, you know, people freak out over celebrities and all. I don't, you know, because a lot of them are just losers. You know, they've got talent that allows them to make a living. I mean, I give them credit for having talent, but they're just, I mean, you see how weird celebrities are all the time. And the weirder they are, the more they want to try to tell everybody else how to live, you know?
Have you ever met one that you did kind of nerd out over?
Let's see. Not really. I really liked, you know, hanging out with Will Ferrell. That was cool.
Wow.
But I didn't nerd out over him. I didn't fanboy on him or anything. I mean, you know, he was talking about how funny I am. So I just gave him room, you know.
Hey.
I gave him room to say it.
Let him say what he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
Was this before or after Step Brothers?
This was when he was doing Talladega Nights. He was in town filming Talladega Nights. So probably before, is that right?
Yeah
it would have been before. Mm-hmm. You know who Sting is? Not the wrestler, the singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really cool. It seemed like, though, in the music world, the more famous the person is, the cooler they are and more down to earth when it comes to, you know, doing interviews and things like that. Because one time was when the Backstreet Boys were really, really hot. And they were the biggest thing, them and NSYNC. Well, the Backstreet Boys came in concert to Charlotte, And they asked my partner, Ace, and I if we wanted to interview them backstage at the Coliseum and the whole thing. And we said, okay, yeah. But then they gave us this list of rules. You've got this amount of time. You can't ask this. You can't ask that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Get in, get out, whatever. So we did. And it wasn't long after that that Sting came through. And we were going back and interviewing him backstage. And they said, okay, just go in here. This is his green room. He'll be in a second. So I turned to walk. And I felt somebody jump on my back, like a piggyback kind of thing. And it was Sting. And he was so cool. He was just nonchalant, hanging out. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith is super cool. But we've you know, been involved with some singers that they would actually have the rule, don't look them in the eye.
No.
When you go back to meet them, don't look them in the eye.
Are they like a deity of some sort or?
Just makes them nervous, I guess. Or you don't deserve to be able to look them directly in the eye. Britney Spears was one of them.
No, not yeah. Britney.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, a lot of times you don't know whether that's because their rule or because of their people making up these rules. We did a thing one time with Lenny Kravitz. It was kind of, you know, like a showcase deal. And he was coming straight from the airport. And it was in the evening. We had a bunch of people who had won to be in the up close and personal audience. And his people made us turn the air conditioner off 2 hours before he got there. And he said, it's bad for your voice to be in air conditioning and singing, and Lenny is going to want it off. And we got to turn it off in time for it to be warm in here when he gets here. So he comes in, goes straight to the stage. We start talking to him. He plays his first song. He gets finished with his first song. Takes his jacket off and he goes, man, it is hot in here. And I said, well, they said that you mandate that it's hot. And he goes, I never said that. Who told y'all to turn the air conditioner off? So you never know whether it's their rule or just, you know, their managers or whoever is coming around. But he was pretty cool too. I think probably the two worst encounters we've had with celebrities would be, there's a singer named Macy Gray that was bad. She was rude. And Caroline Ray, the comedian, old school comedian. Other than that, I think we were pretty cool. We did turn Mariah Carey down one time.
You turned down Mariah Carey?
Because she was going to do a phone interview with us, and she didn't. It was a scheduled time, and we've been telling everybody, Mariah Carey's going to be on at this time, Mariah. And then time came and we're sitting there waiting and we're having to stretch and drag it out and wasting our whole show waiting on her. So then we just moved on. And when she called back, we said, never mind, we've moved on. She wasn't, you know, her people were on the phone and said, oh, what? Said, yeah, she wasn't here when we had it scheduled and we've had to move on. We couldn't pause our show, you know, for the rest of the morning for her. And, the record company wasn't happy with that. Well, it's disrespectful. You know, if you're late one day, I'm going to start the show without you, Isaac. I'll get somebody to show me what buttons to push, but still.
I think you got
I'll
it.
Do it. Okay, so I don't know why that conversation went to where it went. Oh, because we're talking about liberal celebrities that I'm not really fond of liberal celebrities. Okay. What did we have scheduled to do there? Oh, we were going to talk about Tim Wall's daughter. That's right. Tim Wall's daughter has made a fool of herself again. She's really something. Oh, I know he's so proud of her. So we'll do that for you next. Hang on.
It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WPT.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey. Hey, y'all. Okay. One of the things that I love the most about this whole alligator Alcatraz thing in Florida, where it's going to be the illegal alien holding center, or as the Democrats call it, a concentration camp. What I love the most about it is how much it triggers these little moral authority seeking white liberals who think that they are so compassionate and Republicans are so awful. I love just trolling them. I love the fact that calling it alligator Alcatraz and unapologetically calling it that drives them nuts. I get so much joy out of it. And this is sassy Tim Walz. Mind your own damn business. Former vice presidential candidate Tim Walz. This is his daughter and her editorial, let's say, about alligator Alcatraz.
Alligator Alcatraz? Serious right now? These people are literally supervillains.
Literally.
But they're not very good at it. They're just cruel. Because what the alligator Alcatraz? Are you kidding me? I don't even know what to say.
Good.
I'm like trying to process.
Yeah.
What the? That's like literally all I have to say. What the actual?
Like, literally.
If this doesn't tell you these people are fucking losers, nothing else will. Legitimately. Who does to people? I don't care if you don't like someone. Who does it to people? Like, at this point, they're just, like, making up the cruelest ways they can torture people they don't like because of their skin color, where they're from. Wake up, America. Seriously. We're supposed to be celebrating the 4th of July. Alligator Alcatraz.
Yeah, because I know you would really be celebrating what the 4th of July means to Americans. You would, wouldn't you? You know, Tim Walz and his wife are so proud of their little smut-mouthed daughter. What a little princess she is. Like, literally. Literally, I have nothing else to say. Literally. But I'm going to keep talking. Just like my dad says, mind your own damn business. But then again, what do you expect the offspring of Tim Walz and his wacko wife to be like?
I'm a knucklehead at times.
Yeah. I'm a knucklehead. I just say things sometimes. Being a knucklehead. I mean, come on. I don't know how old this daughter of his is, but she would have to be screwed up in the head coming out of his household and out of his loins. You know, let's start there. She's got his crazy genes. And would it kill her to splash on a little bit of lip gloss or some mascara at least? She didn't have a stitch of makeup on. Isaac, do you know that's how you measure quantities of makeup? A stitch? Like, if you don't have any makeup on, you don't have a stitch of makeup.
No, I'm going to add that to my TJ notes.
That's what they say. Alligator, Alcatraz, are you kidding me? Literally, are you kidding me? See, those are the types of things that I really do like. I'm not just saying that. I like when they get upset about things like that. And the best part about it is, like I said, that it's unapologetic. They were asking President Trump about it today, or maybe it was yesterday, but I think it was today. The days run together. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be pretty awful out there if they try to escape. He's like, These are criminals. But you see, people like Tim Walz's little daughter here, little smut mouth daughter, they don't even allow for there to be any acceptance of what's going on, you know, as far as getting these people off the streets. You know, they won't even accept when so many of them are violent criminals and they have committed these horrific crimes outside of the crime of being in the country illegally. They don't even, you know, let that be presented in the argument, because once they do that, then they have to say, okay, well, some of this is justified. And their position is that none of it is. If you're taking illegal aliens off the street, it doesn't matter if they're rapists, murderers, child abusers. It doesn't matter, because it's wrong. And you're only doing it because you don't like the color of their skin. That is the depth of the Democrat argument. That's all they've got. Because they're the ones who fought so hard to open the borders, to let so many criminals just come into our country. So many violent criminals. Like Trump always said during the campaign, they've emptied their prisons into America because they don't want to deal with these people anymore. See, now, in a Republican who can argue and state our points rationally, will say, yeah, we get it. Not all of them, not all illegal aliens are committing violent crimes, and a lot of them are hardworking, good people. We can concede that because we have some sense. But they won't admit that violent criminals are being taken up in some of these situations, most of these situations so far. And can you imagine? Can you imagine Tim Walz's daughter, if you're young and trying to hang out with her? Oh, I don't know. I'd probably rather hang out with her than Kamala's stepdaughter. Now that is a mess. That is a hateful little mess. I don't like women cussing like that. Now, I don't go around, I mean, I'm no saint, but I don't go around just throwing out cuss words around people that I'm, you know, that I don't know, or, you know, I'm not close to, or things like that. But you call me old fashioned or a misogynist, whatever you want, but it's not a good look for a woman to constantly be cussing like that. We expect more out of you ladies. We expect more out of you than men. But it's very unprofessional from anybody. If you don't know the people around you and you're cussing, you know, you need to get right with the Lord. I know Tim Walz's daughter needs to get right with the Lord. I can tell she's got the devil in her. Look at her and listen to that smut mouth and tell. She needs somebody to reach out. Witness to her is what she needs.
Can I get a witness?
Yes. All right. Hang on. We got more coming up.
The TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT. Bringing the heat.
Oh, hot, hot, hot.
Whatever that means. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
So, tomorrow night, we'll be at that sky show, looking at the sky. We will have all kinds of fireworks going on, big time fireworks. And not just the fireworks coming out of Congress. Oh, so funny, so funny. Okay, so everybody on the left talks about how, you know, we shouldn't have gone and busted open all of the nuclear enrichment of Iran. Anything that President Trump would have done, I mean, it could have literally had the Ayatollah over there about to push the button that is going to destroy all of the United States. And if Trump intervened at the last second and had a bomb dropped on him so he couldn't do that and he ended up saving the world, the Democrats would still say Trump bombed Iran because he's a racist and because he's a puppet for Israel. But nobody really talks about how the Iranian people, the citizens of Iran, how they would probably, for the most part, be so beholden to President Trump if he did take out the Ayatollah and all of their evil leaders over there, because they live in a prison. Iran is a prison for its people. And I found this clip on the internets, and I found it very interesting, because it seems like this guy knows what he's talking about. Listen.
Yeah, so basically, this is something that I wanted to speak about as well. So Bob Villain, if you don't know, is this guy that was in Glastonbury, and I was shouting, death to the IDF, yeah? And isn't it funny that people like myself that were born in Iran are the ones that are behind Israel? And the people that were born here, including Iranians and other virtue signaling left-leaning idiots that don't know what they're talking about, siding with Hamas. And all I've got to say is that I would rather live in Tel Aviv under the IDF and under the Israeli government than I would live in Iran under the Islamic Republic. And I would rather live in Israel rather than I live in Hamas. All these people that immigrated to this country and then somehow support the countries they escaped from. Why did you come here? You chose to live in this country. This country is a democracy. Israel is a democracy. Hamas, Islamic Republic are not.
Bob Villain is obviously an attention-seeking narcissist. Unfortunately for him...
All right, so that was obviously somebody that knows what it's like. So why do we allow people to come into our country and still support the violent rulers of their countries that they left behind? I just saw this this story a few minutes ago, and it says Florida is granting its National Guard the authority of immigration judges. They'll process immigration hearings with lightning speed and expedite the deportation of illegal immigrants. I also saw that, I forget which congressman it is, but anyway, he's introducing a bill that would not only make a person who is the president of the United States have to be born in America, but Congress as well. So Ilhan Omar, you know, would not have, if this goes through into law, then that would mean that she would not have been able to run for Congress or serve in Congress because she was born outside of America. I don't have a problem with that. It's like I was saying the other night, we've got to start realizing and letting people know that we know that we're the best country and our founding principles are the best for us, and stop trying to just be nice and worried about being called racist all the time and all of the stuff, the tricks that they use. Yeah, I think Ilhan Omar should have been suspended from Congress a long time ago. You know, when she grants or says that she has allegiance to her home country, and the only reason that she could be in Congress wanting to serve in the United States of America is to harm it from the inside. Right? Doesn't that make sense? I'm just not at all tolerant of people who come from these hellhole countries coming into the United States and taking it over in any aspect. Who do you think you are? This is our country. You're going to stand in our streets where you're free to be able to speak out and say that you're taking over? We gotta stop allowing that. Well, we got freedom of speech, and I get it. But something has to be done. There needs to be a plan on how to deal with that. Doesn't there? So we don't just stand and watch our country dwindle away. I see these videos and all that are taken in these big cities, these big Marxist run cities like New York and Minneapolis and all that, and city just turned over to radical Islamists who speak up in support of terrorists, speak down about America and the Western world. And we just sit and look, oh, look at that. Oh, there were a bunch of them, weren't there? And then you got this clown running for mayor in New York. What was he saying? He said that in New York, they must, quote, buy up private housing to convert into communes. So he had an instructional video in 2021 of how to deal with the housing problem for low-income Americans or New Yorkers and buy private housing and turn it over to the government, turn them into government, completely government-funded communes for people. Yeah, that sounds like the kind of stuff we're about, doesn't it? I mean, he's such a little cowardly, sniveling little weasel, too. Defund the police. Meanwhile, he's a little rich brat living off his parents his whole adult life. And he's got security around him all the time. Let's buy up these houses and give them to the poor. Why don't you start giving your big mansion to the poor? Somebody should ask him that, but will they? No. You know why? Because they're scared. They don't want to be called a racist. Eating rice with his hands. Get out of here. You can't put anybody in charge of anything in America that eats rice with their hands. Especially when they're doing it just to be posing. Pandering. He's rotten. All right, thanks for listening. That's it for tonight. The Great One, Mark Levin, is coming up next. Remember, God loves you and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.